Donna Brown, 30-year Fortune 500 Chief Human Resources Officer, just told me the one thing you should never use AI for in your job search. And 90% of professionals are doing it right now. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll dig straight in, really. How is HR working in the age of AI?
Thank you for the introduction and that teaser, because we'll talk about that, the no-nos, later on. But because of AI, HR, in my estimation, is becoming more strategic and more human. Weird, right? Since everybody's all afraid of AI taking over humanity. But I have a quick story to tell you. So, a client of mine, 120 person tech company, had a recruiter who was drowning. Great at relationships, great at reading candidates, but always behind in terms of resume reviews. We introduced an AI-enabled screening system, but unfortunately, her first reaction was, "Is this replacing me?" And we were like, no. And so fast forward 3 months, she was spending 20 fewer hours a week on manual resume reviews and screening. And she's now leading hiring manager strategy sessions, redesigning interview processes, and becoming that internal talent advisor that she always wanted. So our most recent conversation was, okay, AI didn't take my job. I think it finally gave me the job I thought I was hired for. That's so beautiful. And I think that's the story about across HR right now. AI takes the administrative weight so humans can step into higher value work. We're seeing talent teams spending more time meeting people, less time wrestling with communications, and maybe inadvertently ghosting people because they've got so many people to track. HR leaders using AI to turn messy data into really clear narratives for leadership. And managers using AI as thinking partners for tough conversations and decisions. And this is one of those places where, if you think about AI, humans are the stars, AI are the supporting characters. So I think the trick with some of the no-nos is when you let AI get out in front, and we'll go back to that recruiting example in a minute. So I guess to wrap this up, in my experience, the future of HR isn't fewer humans, it's freed humans. AI's clearing the clutter, and whether it's HR or any other function, the people in that function can finally operate at the level companies have always needed.
I'm really excited about it, to be honest. I'm just slightly, more than slightly worried about the sort of bias that, can be within these platforms, right? Because, we're sort of talking about screening, aren't we? Like screening the CVs. And we talked about this the other day when we were prepping for this. And it's really difficult for people.
People need help. AI is fantastic as your support partner. So have it customize a resume, have it customize an offer letter, but you have to then go back and make sure that everything in there is correct and is in your voice. I can tell when people use a certain GPT to generate their cover letters, because there's phraseology that comes out of some of the, more utilized AIs. And when I see them, and when I see like some of the placeholders not, not filled in, or I see this language and it's exactly the same as three other cover letters that I've received, then on the recruiter side of things, I get annoyed. Listen, I have been out of work before. I've been laid off before. I, understand the stress, the trauma, the anxiety that comes with that, but you can't short circuit the main thing that's going to get you that job, which is that personal connection. And if what people are seeing as their first interaction with you is this cookie cutter AI generated thing that you didn't even take the care to make sure was accurate and didn't have blanks and weirdo language in it, you know, that is not going to help you. So the 5 minutes that it took you to, you know, generate this, it's 5 minutes you could have spent doing something else. So that's one of the places where I advise people, AI is a great drafter. Put in the right information, have it draft something, but it's a draft. It's as if somebody else wrote your paper in school and now you've got to make sure that you're not turning that in. You've got to make it yours. So that's one thing. With regard to bias, there are three places where bias can show up the most. One is in the algorithm of the AI. And for that, you want to make sure that you're partnering with credible AI companies that are transparent about where they get their data, how they're using their data. If you are an enterprise, and customizing your AI with your company's data, your data set itself may be biased. And so you're going to want to make sure that the data set is robust, representative, and that takes a little analysis beforehand. And then there can be bias in people that are writing the prompts, because if you write a generic prompt, and let's forget about the AI company for a minute, but let's talk about like what's really in your control. So your company's data is your control, and the way that your people are writing prompts is in your control. So make sure your people are trained in ethical AI, all that that means. And when you query the AI, this is where human in the loop is really important, because you're not going to then just like let that happen. You have to look at it, especially in the beginning. Is this query generating the kind of results I want to see? Am I getting too many of one demographic? Am I like, does the data look skewed? Because you can tell, and that's where, right? AI can collect and analyze the data, but you've got to put your eyes on it as that human and make sure that it's delivering what you intend. And if it's not, there are two things. You can make sure that your data set is representative, and you can make sure that your query is asking for, you know, I want these demographics. I want things to, you know, be as unbiased as possible, whatever language you're using. Then if you're partnering with an AI company, you're not building your own, because there's fantastic AI companies that can get you up and running, you know, really quickly. Are they transparent about their algorithm? Are they transparent about their data? Is that transparency, do you understand it? Or do you have to be like a chief data officer, CIO kind of person, coder, you know, to understand it? If they're not transparent, there are plenty of other partners to go work with. I think that that's one of the things that people really need to pay attention to, and make sure that that partner that you're choosing is the right partner for your company, because it's not one size fits all, right? You want to make sure that your AI, its data and its outputs are aligned with your company culture, your community, the area in the world where you are, and those regulations that might apply, so that when AI constructs something and you ask yourself, if this were to go out into the wild and be seen by customers, by employees, by the general public, would we be okay with that? And if the answer is not, or I'm not so sure, you know, then you want to start fixing things.
So you as a human resources professional, right? You want to get the right fit for that company culture. So that company culture is really you are being steered by many things, but that company culture and the way that that enterprise is run could, in fit, well, it is biased.
Everything's biased. We all have biases.
It's just a
human condition.
Right. So at the end of the day, but you are free as an enterprise, right, to be biased. Am I right to say that? So you know, let me give you an example, right? For the people listening. So say your CEO and your top management team are like, okay, well, you know, everybody needs to exercise, right? Or meditate or have hobbies, or, you know, there are going to be certain criteria that could filter down mm-hmm. into the human resources department. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? And is it ethical to put those criteria for the roles that you are advertising for?
This may be a little controversial, but I would say it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's a thing. And as long as you're transparent about it and you are clear up front that these are elements of our culture that everyone needs to embrace, then I'm all for it. Right. So right. I often think, let's talk about running shoes. Right. I'm going to go work for a company that makes running shoes, or even one that sells running shoes. They don't necessarily make it. When I go into a store and I want to buy running shoes, I want to talk not to a general shoe salesperson. I want to talk to somebody who runs, because they're going to be able to understand my needs. Am I a jogger? Am I running? How far am I running every day? Am I a marathoner? You know, am I going to go do a triathlon? What am I doing? And what's the best shoe or shoes, as the case may be, for me in that situation? So I can imagine if I applied for a job at that shoe store and one of the criteria was, you know, you must be a runner, doesn't need to be professional, but, you know, you need to be committed to running and fitness. I think that that would be fine to have as a criteria for that job. Yeah. One of the companies I was working with recently, the CEO was a former athlete of, you know, athlete of significance in the pros, let's just say. And, you know, it wasn't a requirement of job descriptions, but he would post his little run every day on Slack, and other people would jump in and post theirs. And health consciousness, whatever form that took, is definitely part of their culture, and it's part of their values. And they do different things in the organization to support that and to encourage that. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think your view is controversial at all. I think that, because otherwise we're taking away the freedom of choice, and it's the freedom of choice of the people who run that business to create the culture that they desire, right? Because otherwise you people are just not going to get on with each other, are they? They're not going to gel, right?
Company is not for everyone, right? It's just, I've worked at places where I'm like, this probably wasn't the best idea, because, you know, for one reason or another. And I think, you know, listen, I'm all for clarity in all ways. So as long as you're declaring what you're doing and it's not against the law, then go for it. Right. And I think back to the bias in AI, sometimes people get offended by the concept that everyone is biased. Everyone is biased. It's the way that our brain sorts information. It's got to, you know, it makes, I don't know, nanosecond conclusions in our fight or flight brain, right? About, is this a good thing, a bad thing, whatever. So our job with our thinking brains is to try to mitigate that bias. So when you think of the three bias areas that we talked about a minute ago, humans are building the algorithms. Humans are creating the data, performance reviews, whatever else might be in your data, and humans are querying the data. So again, that's three places where humans, who are naturally biased beings, if left to their own devices, you're probably the first time out not going to get what you want. But those experiments are the important thing, because when you say, okay, I want to, you know, do this thing with regard to internal sourcing of candidates, let's go back to the candidates, and you've got a leadership position and you're sourcing candidates and they come back three quarters male. Well, we know from years and years of data that as you're moving up in an organization, right, at some point, things are pretty 50-50 between male and female genders. As you go up the leadership pyramid, women start to fall off and men continue to rise. So it's almost like, well, of course it delivered more men because you've got more men in the data. But that's not something that you want to perpetuate. So then you just need to make sure, again, that your data is balanced and that you're querying so that you get, you know, a well-balanced return of potential candidates. But that's why you just can't let AI do what AI is going to do, no matter how ethically you try to build AI or do anything else in terms of practices in your organization. It's just a matter of fact. And so in sensitive things like human resources, you want to make sure that the AI isn't taking that starring role. Humans in the loop are essential.
It's really interesting. I mean, you said to me, go and have a look at these, because I only use one AI religiously, right? Because it's got all my stuff. And you said, well, why don't you go and try out these other ones? And I was like, that's quite a good idea. Maybe I will. And I like your attitude, because you can spot these a mile off. And that's what's really interesting. And it's in the formatting. It's the way that these people. But there's so much more to it, right? There's so much more to it. And my attitude is, if someone doesn't have the time to do it, then I'm sure they've got a friend who could actually do it, or a family member, you know, who might do it, or they could pay for someone to just help them, right? Like, I mean, there are masses of people. You can hire them on Fiverr for next to nothing to do a lot of these things. Right. But it's interesting. It's really interesting. The bias thing is massive, because I suppose you, as the experienced person that you are, can sort of go in and you can train other people to spot those problems, so then they can tweak their internal processes, right? Because I know you do a lot of work with all sorts of sized businesses these days.
Of course, yeah. And one of the things, so I'll leave you and our listeners with a framework, which I love frameworks. Mm-hmm. And this one has 5 steps. I usually prefer a 3-stepper, but this one has 5 steps. It's called Brief. And if you write your prompts with this framework, you're going to mitigate right off the get-go some of the things that you're talking about right now. So when you're creating your prompt.
And this is, sorry, this is, to interrupt.
Sorry.
And this is for job seekers. Is this
anything.
Correct?
This is for anything that you're doing on AI.
Cool.
So it's Brief, B-R-I-E-F, background, request, instruction, expectation, which is what you were just talking about, and focus. And so I work with lots of companies. So when I'm using AI, which I do every day throughout the day, I am an AI lover. I eventually learned how to create like lasting personas that I just say, you know, this is company X persona. But the background is, this is a 120 person SaaS company that's been in business for 10 years, just got its Series C funding, and is focused on blah, 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 blah. I need to draft a communication from the CEO on the following. Please create an email which can be repurposed for posting in Slack and on the company website. Should be bullet points, very brief. Here's the main idea. Here are the takeaways. Help me generate action items, whatever I'm asking it to do. The expectation is that I will have email ready, post ready drafts. And the focus should be CEO tone of voice, which is characterized by XYZ, lighthearted, professional, whatever you want, you know, however you want it to look. You set that all up. And with the exception of the instruction and the expectation, you can set up the background, the focus, the general information about yourself or that company one time. And then you just run your requests through that. I have a Donna Brown persona. I also have a founder persona because in the US, which is where I largely do my work, founders are typically men and they're typically, let's say, 55 and under. That's not me, but I need to be speaking to them. So when I get all geeky about my HR language and using my HR words, and I want to go and talk to my HR friends about something, if I want to talk to potential clients or my CEO and founder audience, I can't have what I would naturally write. So I write my thing. Sometimes I use AI to help me write it, but then I put it through that CEO founder persona that I created, and it makes my content suitable for that. So in the job search, people are using AI for a lot of different things, and it can be very, very much a time saver. So if you set up a query that can run every day, every week, however long you want it to run, and some of these are already built in the GPTs that you may be using to deliver companies that are posting roles that you want. You want to craft that prompt a little bit. You may start with the basic one that they provide you, but maybe you want to work in clean tech or some kind of technology. You don't want to work in manufacturing. Maybe you want a job at this level versus that level. Maybe you want a company that aligns with your values. Maybe you want to work for an early stage company versus a late stage company or vice versa. You put all of that, those criteria in your prompt, and then you can set it to run, and it's going to call all of the information that used to take us days, not hours, but days to go through to get our list of target companies and all the rest of that stuff. It's going to do that for you, and it's going to refresh for you. Then human comes back. Okay, what am I going to do? This one's in, this one's out, blah, blah, blah. Okay, help me research these companies. I want to know, boop, 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 these four questions for these five companies. And it's going to return back and you're going to look at it. Does this all make sense? Maybe you do some checking based on what's on their website. Then you get to the application process, right? First thing you want to do is try to meet some people at that company. So AI can be helpful for that. How can I get the contact information for the head of product if I'm a product manager and want to go work for that company, right? So all of this is this very collaborative process that, as I said in the beginning, takes a lot of the administrative stuff out to give you more time to make the connections with the actual people, to give you more time to customize that cover letter or that email that you're going to send so that you don't have to just send out that thing that your AI spit out and is just so wrong whenever somebody that is not you reads it back.
Wow. It just made me think about, I spent a long time learning about personal branding and I created a book on personal branding. And what I did is I actually I actually had a, I've got a whole process that I use to like help people to create their personal brands, right? And that process I fed into an AI, and I cut my process down from like 2 days down to probably about 4 hours. So, and it's exactly the same. It's basically what you're saying. It's basically because you're basically talking about creating a persona and using that persona to help someone to refine their communication.
Refine, for sure.
Because it's refining
it. But you not have to do the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, but you still need to edit it. You can't, you know, yes. I can't, because I might write something using this AI, right? The most valuable moment of the time that I spent now, if someone approaches me and says, can you help me with that? I can do it. But the most important time that I spent doing it is actually, first of all, asking them really important questions, right? Of like, what have you done in your career? How did you grow up? What makes you different to other people? All these really important questions. And then what I really love to do is actually a few emails back and forth where I refine the words with them, because otherwise you just end up with something that is the same as everybody else's. And this is the problem is, and people have been doing it for years, even before AI. They would go to someone's LinkedIn profile. They would say, oh, look at them. They look amazing. I'm going to copy that. And then they go, you know, and then they copy it. But it's no different to having AI do it, because AI just pulls the data from the ether, because it's already got this database of all these people, what they've talked about. Mm-hmm. And it just goes and does that. So not a lot has really changed, except it's made things a lot faster, a lot better. And it can be
for average people like you and me, right? Because AI has been around for a very, very long time. People think it's this new thing. Generative AI that your average person can use is the new thing.
It is new.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is helpful, I'm not advocating for a certain tool, but it's worth people taking a look at Claude, because the cool thing that Claude does is when you prompt it, it then shows you the code that it's turning your prompt into to go and fetch the data off the internet, off Reddit. I heard that Reddit was one of the main sources of information, off LinkedIn, wherever. Websites are another place where, you know, people want to be able to, you know, have AI ingest their information. But in any event, I think because generative AI, right, is using these language models so that the interface is we can type, we can talk, it appears to us that it's very human and thinking about things in the same way that we are. But it's not. It's just a computer. And the computer is turning things into ones and zeros and going out and saying, all right, what other ones and zeros am I going to collect? For all of my techie friends, I apologize, because this is my totally non-techie way of describing this. But, you know, it collects things that it thinks matches or are adjacent to all of those words that it doesn't understand what those words mean in a human sense. Like, it may have the definition stored somewhere, but it doesn't translate. This is why prompting is so important, because you have to be specific and you have to tell it, I want pictures that look like this.
I'm going to take that and stop wasting my prompts. But I've got another question actually for you. So, how can people future-proof their careers? Because this is a massive one. It's a big one, and I'm really excited about it.
Everybody's so scared.
They're terrified.
Yeah, everybody is so scared.
Cultures are suffering, right? The culture.
That's why people have to talk to people that are more experienced, like I am, because I remember computers and having to learn computers. You know, I remember rotary telephones and push button telephones. That, you know, that's all they did. You could call someone.
Huh? Me too.
Yeah.
I used to send out sales letters and call them a week later.
Exactly. Hello.
Mrs. Jones, did you get my letter?
Yes, exactly. And it seems so ridiculous now. And those people that are Gen Z who are going to be listening to this are like, what are they even talking about? But here's the deal. People are scared because companies are perpetuating what I think is a pretty big lie that AI is going to come and take all their jobs. But I'm going to share a quote. A lot of us have heard this, but the quote is, your job isn't at risk from AI. Your job is at risk from someone who knows how to use AI better than you. This is also something that hasn't changed over decades, right? AI is just the current thing. So if you think back to other technological advances like the computer, right? Those who couldn't or wouldn't, like, it's hard to imagine a job today where computers aren't used in some way. Our phones are computers. You know, and people call themselves, you know, my husband is one of these. He's definitely not a Luddite, but he's like, oh, I'm computer illiterate. I'm like, dude, you're on your phone all the time. What do you think that is? So, you know, if we think about all that we can do with a few taps, and all the jobs that have been created and transformed because of computers, like take a breath and rest assured that the most important thing is learning agility, a growth mindset, which has always been the case, regardless of the fancy labels that we put on it now. I was consulting for a company, two employees in the same role, same tenure, all the rest of, you know, for all intents and purposes. One of them, like me, was like geeking out in the early days about AI and, oh my gosh, this is coming out of the engineering team. And now they were in customer success. I'm going to be able to do all these great things because my objective is to spend time with customers, really understand their problems, bring those problems back to the product team, so that we can continue to put out a great product that our customers really, really want. The other person, like many of us are, were really suspicious. They were like, don't know if this is for me. But what happened, right? 6 months later, that first employee redesigned those workflows, cut reporting time, which is always, right, a nightmare for people, cut it by like 60%. And was advising upward on how the entire department could modernize. The second person was still sort of sitting there doing things the old way and falling behind from a productivity perspective, which in a customer success organization is one of your key metrics, because they just couldn't or wouldn't. Same job, different future. And so I think future-proofing comes down really to three things. I'm going to say become AI bilingual, but it's insert any tool, right? Not technical, functional. Know what AI can do in your space, what it shouldn't do in your space, and how it can accelerate your work. The things that AI shouldn't do in the HR space are going to be very different than the things that AI shouldn't do in the engineering space or the product development space. So you really need to understand your work. You want to master the human skills that AI cannot touch. This has been something that even before AI, as we've been moving to more of a, you know, technologically advanced working community, AI can't replace judgment, can't replace storytelling. It can make up stories that are not true, but it can't deliver them in the way that we're talking today. AI doesn't have influence. It can't handle conflict. It can't turn data into insight. And it can draft words, but it can't build trust.
So just to ask you about the data into insight thing.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that? What do you mean by that?
So AI is fantastic for handling masses of data, calling out the key points when you instruct it what you're looking for, and doing some level of analysis. What it can't do is take that the next step and employ the judgment of someone who is in that space that recognizes what's important, what's not important, understands the business in the moment to know, what does my CIO or CEO or C whatever need to know today? What's top of mind for my leaders that of all of this data that I have at my fingertips, I'm going to say, this is the stuff that you should pay attention to. So right. I guess the message is AI can only take you so far, because those insights are so specific to not only your industry, your company, but also your strategy. Because you can go down a rabbit hole of insights. Here's 100 insights from, you know, AI that just, you know, went in and analyzed all of this data. Well, okay. What is anyone supposed to do with 100 insights? It's not actionable unless it's specific.
True, true, true. Yeah, that's really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah. So I think the future, as always, belongs to the curious. Again, I want to try to, like, we should all be excited about the possibilities, but we also have to take a little bit of a chill pill about the fear.
Agreed.
It's just Agreed. Another technology. We've done this before. We've incorporated mind-blowing technologies into our day-to-day in a pretty seamless way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, if you're curious, if you stay open, if you keep learning, AI doesn't make you obsolete. It's going to make you irreplaceable, because you're going to be able to do so many more things than you can, that you could do before in a shorter time frame. Yeah.
The main thing that I would like to see is to get more time back so that we can be more strategic and do the things that we really enjoy doing versus the things that we just don't want to do. And actually, that is giving us the ability to do that. Because it's saving us all this time. But the problem is actually us. We are the problem, because...
Oh, yeah. Look at the AI climate. Is not about the technology.
But go back to the first industrial revolution.
Yes.
And then look back at the people. They didn't get shorter working hours. Mm-hmm. They didn't get anything that they were promised.
Oh, no. Companies are all about efficiency. The efficiency that we free up is going to get repurposed. So I would say, let's repurpose it ourselves, right? So go back to the first example I gave you of my recruiter friend. Now, all this admin drudgery work, stuff that is not value added for her, is taken care of because she's automated it. And she is spending quality time with candidates, with her leaders, helping her leaders be better hiring managers. She can be out in the wild more, meeting new people, not just being reactive. These are the, you know, 500 people that applied for this job posting, 90% of whom are not even qualified, right? That's one of the real drudgeries in recruiting, is how many people, no matter how much you try to set up, like answer these questions in advance, you know, do this cover letter, no matter how many hurdles you try to put in place, so many of the people are just like, I don't know, they're desperate. So I have some compassion for that. But that's what results in ghosting. That's what results in great candidates getting missed, because you just have too many if you are one person trying to get through everything and do a good job. And the recruiters that I know are recruiters because they want to help people, because they recognize that humans doing work that they're passionate about and that they love is something that just makes the world a better place. And it pains them when you hear these stories out there about, I got ghosted for the 100th time or whatever. But part of that is because there's so much crap that is clogging the system by people that are just, I'm going to, you know, try to give the benefit of the doubt, the people that are just desperate for anything. And AI can help. These are the 50 that you should focus on.
that makes a lot of sense to make it more of a strategic job
as opposed
to like a machine gun approach, because it just doesn't work, because you're not going to be able to send out all of those personalized, tailored communications.
Right.
So why not use your brain and then filter down? It just makes sense, right, to pick those different companies. Look at the culture. If you think, okay, I'm not going to fit in at that culture, don't even apply in that job.
Because it's going to be sad. It will be sad for you if you go to work for a company that is not aligned with your values.
It's going to break
your heart.
Absolutely. Well, I can't thank you enough. It's been absolutely really, really enlightening. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Fantastic. So I just ended on sort of a negative break your heart thing, but let's do one thing, right? So if there's something that I want people to take away from today, it's this, right? AI is here to take humanity out of work. It's here to help us get our humanity back by taking the drudgery out of work so we can repurpose that time with the things it can't do, grow talent, build strong relationships, create strong teams. And when companies combine strong leadership, thoughtful structure, and an AI-informed organization, that's when performance is really going to accelerate and people are going to start to have fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm a total believer in that. Massively. It's incredible what we can do when we get together and put our minds to it and embrace the new tech that's out there. It's just, you know, I'm a real believer in that. But so if you are listening to this and you're a founder or you're a CEO who wants the strategic insight and executive experience to solve the complicated people and organizational challenges that are getting in the way of growth, please do contact Donna, and I will put her LinkedIn profile link wherever you are watching this from.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.